respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The realization of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Satam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sadadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and of all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I humbly bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dujyambi tatyambi svaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. At the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience but to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Jim.
I've been practicing with a lot, and I've seen a lot about it, and just thought it would be helpful to kind of be reflective. I feel like over the last, while, that I have no idea, but I feel like there's escape velocity is being created in a very, in a place that the karma is very strong. And so I've seen a lot about that process in particular. And so it's just so interesting, right? Because there's so many different lenses that could be seen through. It could really be seen through, this is a problem, lots of self-hate, all of those things. But what another perspective that I've heard on my recordings a lot lately is, well, first of all, that's really exciting, right? And one thing. And it's very, quote, painful. And I say quote because what seems to be, like, I've had a number of recordings lately that there's quite a bit of tears and emotion there. And what, as I look at it, it seems like at least a good portion of the emotion is coming from, like, the image that came up last night when I was recording was like being present at the birth of a child, or something that's very moving and very completely miraculous, and we don't understand anything about it, kind of thing. And it seems to have an impact in the sense of, I can't be all the ways that I'm used to being. I can't pull it all together all the time and control it all and, you know, manage. And so another image that dropped in yesterday was the birds flying in V formation and feeling like, I'm at the back. You know? But what I saw with that, that I think I've never really seen, is that when someone else is at the back, there's such tremendous compassion and just rooting for them and wanting to be flying so they can be drafting. But when I'm at the back, there's shame. And what I realized is that's crazy. And there's a way that's very ungenerous, because I bet you a lot of other people feel that way themselves when they're at the back. So to have the sense of, I always want to be at the front, ostensibly because it's helpful and it's whatever, but I just have this image of, I wonder if that's the Bodhisattva, like, because isn't it just as generous to be that which is getting to draft, because it's such an amazing experience to be at the front of the V, and why wouldn't we all rotate through all of those? What is it that would have me have this be a problem?
Yeah.
Right? And because if someone else were maybe reaching escape velocity on a karma and needed some extra support, boy, would I be. You just let me know. I will leave you alone, or I'll assist, or I'll whatever you need. Mm-hmm.
Because we're going for the escape velocity.
For all of us,
all
as
of us.
As one thing,
yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, not me.
Right.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a big karma to, like, let me just do it. As soon as I do it, then I'll be completely generous to everyone else. Right? But the Bodhisattva image is almost the reverse of that. It's the, I'm going to stay on this side of the wall and lift everyone up. As that's happening.
The Bodhisattva is not going to be concerned about me. How I look and how I'm doing, and is this going well, and if the shame can be brought in to make sure that that gets covered over. So you never want to be in that position. You always want to be about me. And no one's helpful. You're supporting everybody. You're doing the good. You're supporting you.
And you're doing well.
And you're doing well. So the shame can be used to keep that all in place.
Yeah.
Then the Bodhisattva role never gets to be received.
And as you reflect that, that's helpful. Because what I think the emotion about is that... So I keep having this image. So there's the escape velocity, and that, you know, I always picture the space shuttle, just in that vibration, that vibration that's happening, because the energy is building, but it's not going anywhere yet. It's just the energy is just building. And I keep having this image of, like, oh, hang on one sec. And then stopping and getting out and going to, you know, do whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's... it's funny, but there's a way in which flying at the front of the V is interrupting the momentum. Do you know? In that place of, like, not necessarily. I guess it's just what I've been seeing is there are so many ways that I get talked out of. Hey, hang on just one sec. Let me just turn off the engine for a minute and go. And one I saw this morning is doing. Just instead of being still with what is, hey, let me just get the recycling, because that would be, you know, we haven't done that in a while. No, then wouldn't that be so great? I mean, then the recycling will be done. I mean, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a way in which that process of caring for things might be the thing that's completely called for in a moment. But it also might be the thing that's taking away from just being still with what's going on.
Yeah, that actually is serving to drain the energy
that
is building this escape velocity. And if it can, you know, so if it's doing something that's really good and
not small, it's not a big deal. It's not a big project.
It's just a little bitty siphon of the energy, but it's a siphon of the energy.
And I think I'll say it in this way, the willingness to stay wherever I seem to be, life seems to be putting me in the V, and not have to get up to the front again, feels like a manifestation of being willing to stay still with and let it build. And I think, as I was recording last night, it really felt like that's what the emotion was coming from. Not so much from sadness or frustration or grief, but from that, wow, watching this person make a choice that for so long, at least this lifetime, who knows before, has been unavailable, right? The choice to not do the things that will dissipate that energy.
Yeah. Wow. And just the experiencing the emotion, the strong emotion, and really bringing that level of awareness to it,
mm-hmm.
that what is, you know, and discernment of sorts, mm-hmm. that it's not frustration, it's not anger, it's mm-hmm. nothing, it's being moved. Mm-hmm. It's like witnessing the birth of something that has been unavailable for mm-hmm. this human, and now here she is making these choices. Mm-hmm. That's really propelling mm-hmm. this life through the escape velocity into we don't know what.
Yeah.
We know, have no idea what's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very moving.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one last thing that went through as you were saying that. I don't know what it was. Something around the willingness to stay there, and just something about I think it was as you were saying that the I can't remember how you said it, but paying attention to what that emotion is, and I was just watching. I was using Ashwini's image of calibration,
mm-hmm.
and with no understanding of why, which thing, what, but just watching how, as I was recording, I could watch as I was talking. That's it. That's not it. That's a movement away from it. And then I would just sit and it would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just little things like, well, because I don't know when I'm trying to, and it's like, no, that's not it. And just, it was just an interesting process to watch.
Yeah,
that.
And just like, it sounds like that process that you're describing now, tell me if this was your experience, but even as you were describing taking the recycling process, you know, like you got to calibrate, like, no, that piece that was dissipating.
Yep.
So nothing's a mistake. In
right. Life. Yeah, that's such a good point. That's mm-hmm. such a good point. And that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that there was an absence of that. There wasn't. So seeing that recycling thing, there was an absence of, see, you're just dissipating the energy.
Yeah.
Right? You're right. It was just... It really is. That's, I think, thank you for making that connection. I think that's what's being so powerful about this year-long theme,
uh-huh.
is that's really sinking in.
Yes.
It's really just watching all of it.
Yeah.
Without that temptation to figure it out, judge it, compare it. Yeah, anything,
yeah,
any of that. Yeah. That feels like the sitting still.
Yeah.
Is just here.
Yeah, it is so huge. And it's what you've brought up in groups in the past and picked up in past email classes when Sherry would say, can you just see it and not change it?
Right.
Can you just see it and not do anything about it, to fix it, to pretend to be transcendent or whatever?
Right.
Be with it.
Yeah.
Whatever the it is.
Yeah.
Is the whole
thing. Yeah. It's very exquisite.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's somehow very, very intimate,
mm-hmm.
as you describe that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to me, that feels like it's related to the insight I think I talked about some time ago, but that I suspect that every single thing that comes up that gets, quote, triggered,
mm-hmm.
even little, quote, stupid stuff like, that, or, they told, you know, they said that to me, or I got that. There's such a sense that every single thing is a portal. To the divine, which seems like what?
I know.
But in a way, I completely can't describe. But I'm just experiencing.
Yeah, it is so intuitive. Mm-hmm. What might be seen as counterintuitive,
right?
Like, that should be a portal, but yes.
Yeah.
It is. If we have, when we have the eyes to see it, it's all.
And when we just stay there,
yeah.
Instead of turning away from it in whatever way we're trained to turn away from it,
yeah.
You know, just go do the doing, or, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, like I had this one moment in the recording last night where I had blah, 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 and I said, that, you know, da, 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 and I was like, but that's fine. And then I was like, oh, that's the buck up little camper process. And then all of that was okay,
uh-huh.
you know, just the whole thing. Because the minute they're seeing that, oh, that's the buck up little camper, there's complete compassion, there's that's okay, there's that's just part of it, you know.
Well, and I can see why you used the word intimacy a minute ago.
Yeah.
Because there mm-hmm. is just such a deep intimacy. Mm-hmm. You're not turning away from anything.
Yeah.
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 Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Mm.
been part of that seems to be what I've also been looking at. I read a phrase in a book, attributed as an old Zen saying, to settle the self on the self. And I've been looking at...
Wait, let me see if I've got the phrase. So the phrase is to settle the self on the self.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that I said, I've never heard it. I said, but it's an old Zen saying, apparently. What is that? What is that pointing
to? Yeah.
And I talked with the guy about it, and she asked if either of the selves, the second self, was a capital. It didn't happen to be, uh-huh. But I think it could easily have been.
To settle the small self on the capital S self.
Yeah.
Might be the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at the word settle, and it seems, this happened just recently, a couple of days ago, so it seems that what is perhaps being pointed at is something like no second thoughts. The awareness drops in that I'm dissipating energy in this direction. No second thoughts, nothing, just back here. No judgment, no story. So, in sitting, I would drift off and I'd come back. And I got it. That instant, it is crucial. Mm-hmm. It is just crucial.
Yeah.
That any and everything that ego can throw at me in the life, whether gross or subtle, will be, it's just there waiting.
Uh-huh.
There's just a checklist. This one, will this one give it? Yeah. Will this one put her back out at the moment? And the favorite, one of the favorites is just a conversation about that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, let me catch up and reflect a little bit, because that's so big. So the moment that we come back, you know, in sitting is so very crucial. And what you've seen is that the ego is just waiting to get what will get your attention back out of the moment, that moment you've come back. And often it's just a conversation about that very happening.
Yep. Okay. And so when the awareness of that just happened arises in the open awareness is there. That's another crucial moment.
Yeah.
So it's just one crisis.
No. But it's one essential moment after the other.
Yeah.
That is so big, isn't it? One, and I just want to underline what you said a minute ago. No second thoughts. No second guessing. Because it's one essential moment after the other. And all those second guessing and second thoughts interruptions are, is just a way to rob us of an essential moment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it seems that a quality to bring to all of this, and the way it's going through today, is gentleness.
Uh-huh.
Just be gentle.
Yeah.
Trust.
Gentle.
Yeah. Accepting. There is nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying a few minutes ago that you were quoting Sherry?
Can you be with it and not change a thing?
Yeah. It's not stopping that crucial moment after. It's not stopping. It's just coming back as soon, it's just a practice, a training, as soon, and it gets more and more subtle.
Yes. I mean, yes. What you're describing is very, very subtle. And the critical thing is when you said the phrase not stopping. Because that seems like, by definition, what ego is. It's sort of the stick and the spokes of any, you know, and what we're practicing with is not, is just flowing with everything. Not turning away from anything, not trying to change anything, not having a conversation about anything, but actually being with, or maybe even just being it all.
Yeah. Just settling the self and the self.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it just makes me feel relaxed, you know, just to hear that. But it is just such a settling of the self into, you might say, all. It's all. Yeah. And you know, there is an innate gentleness in that, isn't it? It's just a gentle way to be. Got all that.
All that fix.
Yeah, fix. Well, but there's something wrong. But what did you. But, yeah. Scott.
It really helped the team group. It's like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And so it was being talked about last Sunday around kind of following what someone else is saying, and you go there too.
Uh-huh.
And what I noticed, that breath of fresh air, is that there's all these little, I'm hemmed in all these kinds of ways. And I can't quite see, I don't see how I'm all hemmed in and kind of a little boundary here, a little crunch here. And then there's that expansion by listening to someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's all of a sudden it's like, it's kind of dark, and then this light just shines on all these little imaginary structures that have been keeping me, like, my shoulder got hurt over here, and my throat is tight. I just project on both of those, cognitive process for me, we just need to be still. Just be gentle.
And I gotta say, we all laugh because we can so go there, right? Yeah. And we can hear it so clearly in your voice that that's not gentleness and talking. That is a cognitive process that is telling someone about gentleness.
Yeah. That's a trap of mine.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just seeing it historically, developmentally, I could start doing those cognitive processes. That became the major defense.
Uh-huh.
So to hear what I project is people going, it's not this, I'm going to be still. It's to me, it is, but it's a process of compassion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what goes through all of that. That's what provides that experience of intimacy. There's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is part, there's no way for me to make that happen or get a structure or make a commitment, or there's no way to put that together like it's a thing. Construct an experience or something like that.
That's a really good point, if I may jump in and reflect that, because as you're talking, there's no way that I can make that happen. Even if using this practice stuff, there's a structure, there's a commitment, there's a this, there's a that, there's a it's like what you started out with, all of these limits, all of these barriers or walls that the light has shown in on, and it all can have that feel or sound of being a very practice-y kind of thing, because ego will use the language of practice. But what you're seeing, what you're pointing out in the process, is that very process was the defense. That very cognitive doing, that may not be the right word, but some kind of process of putting these things so that we'll get the gentleness or the intimacy or the love or whatever. But none of that is how it really happens.
Yeah, and you can't see that by coming to the head. Because when you were reflecting, I can just feel that relaxation. I went there, and it highlighted how not relaxed the body is, which, I can just imagine on a little, when I'm up in the head, just kind of got re-triggered with this family stuff, and today I get to be on the phone and write letters, and I just imagine all this, when the attention is on that back and forth with them, You know, this, essentially this underlying belief, I think, is that they don't like me. Mm. They know they're mad at me, or they don't approve of me, or something like that, because there's a lot of, like, hatred coming up mm-hmm. and defense towards them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I can feel, like, everything just constrict. Mm. You know, I just imagine it's almost like damaging the cells mm-hmm. to be tensed like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because I can feel the massive difference when I go make the movement to compassion uh-huh. or a move relax, you know, wow. or just in the sitting, having the attention, you know, after a while on the breath. Uh-huh. Like, whoa, those are pretty different worlds.
Yeah.
But I think that's so familiar
yeah.
to be in a semi-constant state of that tension. I don't even remember a friend of mine who said, like, her partner came, used to come up to her and go, put her hand on the shoulders,
uh-huh.
shoulders down, yeah. and she said, I didn't even realize that I'm walking around with my shoulders up most of the time.
Yeah. yeah.
And I just imagine all the different things that are going on. It's just like, well, that's just, that's what it means to be Scott.
Uh-huh.
You know?
In that other way.
In that
other world. Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing that you're saying, if I'm tracking it, is that the awareness that you're bringing to all of this is the hands on the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it is the realization, or the recognition, I guess is a better way of saying it, of there's a lot of hate going on here. And if it can be delivered to them, great. Now, self-hate would love that. Mm-hmm. If it can destroy your own self and the body, woohoo, we got double whammy there. You know, I mean, that's what it's going. No, that's yeah. what it does, right?
Yeah.
Is it attacks and, you know, it takes over wherever mm-hmm. it can. But the awareness that you're bringing to it all is just, and even in the body, the feeling, going with it and all of that is just, it's just so good to see
yeah.
the contrast.
I was just seeing as you're saying that, like, the awareness that you bring to it, that's all that's sort of required, because I can feel this, I just want it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a break from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the setup, kind
mm-hmm.
of,
mm-hmm.
because I have had some breaks from it. And then it's like, okay, phew, I can be back to normal.
Yeah.
Which feels like I haven't been back to, quote, normal for like 4 months now, or 3 months. You know, maybe there is no getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just, I need to actually just, well, maybe I'd like to, just stay here.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I just need a, and then now it's just working out the stuff.
Uh-huh.
For that, those arrows to land again.
Uh-huh.
It's just keeping that wound open.
Yeah.
It may feel like I'm relaxed or taking a break, but I can know the difference between that.
Yeah.
You know, the ego, life force just draining out, and relaxing into what we were just talking about, into that gentleness or into that all.
Yeah, and you're getting a front row seat at the difference.
That's good to see. Boy, because of course everyone knows this is just pointing out what's not working, what's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
where's your escape velocity, and you know, all the things that I'm not doing are not working. So it's really helpful to get the attention back on all the things that are happening.
Well, and when you said that about not being back to normal for about the last 4 months, what dropped in for me was, well, there's your escape velocity.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. Somebody's talking about using the workbook for the retreat. And that first page that we asked to record, or that first,
mm-hmm.
and putting in, this is like, you know, there's no way to do this workbook wrong.
Yeah.
And just put in, there's no way to put this family workshop wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's this place about it in there, and we're always either, I think we're just talking about it, either moving towards suffering or moving away from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed at that. I've just been doing it every morning. It seems like we're kind of moving more towards suffering right now. And then I was like, well, maybe not.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Who knows?
Because I often can't see the big picture.
Yeah.
And maybe it feels like the attention's on suffering, but there's a much larger process going on,
yeah.
clearly.
Yeah.
Maybe this is all as what's just being said. Oh, I just saw, you know, Buck Up Camper. It's like, oh, I just got to see that little rehearsing conversation
yeah.
thing again. And even though I'm not enjoying that right now, it doesn't mean I'm not moving away
yeah.
from suffering.
Yes. So just because I'm not enjoying that right now doesn't mean that I who's not enjoying it, or even the one who's seeing the I that's not enjoying it, has the big picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in fact, we know it doesn't have the big picture.
Yeah, the picture is bigger than any of those eyes will ever see.
Again, I just love that process of being in group, because that is that movement from small to big.
Yeah.
I mean, just just to get another perspective on anything.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I'm putting a pretty small container here, but you start to hear from other people, everyone's got this different angle, and all of a sudden there's this great big, from a small to a big perspective, which is really
That is so good, isn't it? Because there's a, in a group like this, there's a place where the attention can go that's, first of all, it's out of that story, and then there's all the energy that's being, I don't know what, you know, that the human gets to experience, and it goes, so the awareness, or the, I don't know how it's going exactly, but I don't know how it works exactly, but to go from the small to the big, just mm-hmm. in being and hearing all of these different perspectives, mm-hmm. it takes us to a totally different place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ms. Linda.
It's been great to be here and experience the sort of quickening that happens in a group.
Uh-huh.
And to have a really key core issue for me come up very easily around learning, uh-huh. the how of learning. Uh-huh. And in the past, I was learning disabled, and so it's a big thing.
Uh-huh.
So it was, you know, like a thing.
Like a non, you mean like a karmic thing?
Yeah.
It's a big karmic thing.
It's a thing.
And for my profession, I have to learn. I'm learning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there seems to be a abandoning of the self who suffers in the learning process for the sake of being at the point of the V.
Mm.
I can do this, I'm not dumb, I can make this happen, I can pass this test,
mm-hmm.
and then I flunk, say, which is, you know, big exam, don't pass. And then all of a sudden, the one who was abandoned and experiencing the shame of being minimized mm-hmm. or pushed to the back is at the front.
Uh-huh. And getting all the blame and the shame.
Yeah.
So let me see if this is the process you're describing. So the one, this, the authentic human or the human being just gets shoved aside. Or, okay, I can do this. I'm going to, you know, because of the learning karma, I'm going to make this happen. I can learn. I can pass this test. I can do it. And then just shoves that one aside. Doesn't happen way it was supposed to happen. And say the big exam and it's not passed. Then all of a sudden that one takes a break and shoves this, the authentic human, back into the front to catch all of the flack and the shame and accusations as if it was her that was responsible for any of that.
That was like the real person who took the test was not the made up one who's actually competent and smart and set up, but the real one who was in the back. It reminds me of riding a bike in road races, and when you're training, you're in a line, and then when the person in the front is ready to not be in the front anymore, they go like this,
uh-huh.
a circle in the air, and that lets everyone know they're going to pull over, let everyone pass, and go to the back.
Uh-huh.
And so and it just, you know, we all expect that 20 minutes or however long the person in the front is going to need to uh-huh. shift. And in that process, it's like we're all going.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're all doing this.
Yeah.
And boy, I can see the levels of personality, not levels, the aspects
uh-huh.
of personality that are in different positions
uh-huh.
that shift around uh-huh. all the time,
uh-huh.
you know? And so with learning today, when I was recording, what I felt finally time is up, and also, I came to a peaceful place with the feeling of compassion for all, you know, for all those pieces. They're all playing a part in this, you know, story.
Yeah, so there's this process that goes on, and all of these aspects are a part of the whole process. And you sound like you had some big insights and awarenesses of how the suffering happens in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And what, as you were recording and looking at it, what you came to is just compassion for it all.
It's like there's no choice in a way.
There's no choice
in whether to have compassion or not. I mean, you can go along not forever, of course. But, like, if you're thinking, uh-oh, what do I do? You know, there's only one.
Compassion is the only response.
There's only one thing to do.
Yes.
And it's really kind of joyous and simple.
And because it sounds like it, from what you're describing, you've tried the other way for some time.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get it, that it's really, what else would we want to bring to this except for compassion? Those seem the only obvious.
It's a great how thing.
Yes.
I experienced a wonderful how thing.
Yes.
And I do want to express my deep gusho and gratitude to the those of us all Sangha who established this holy path.
Oh.
I mean, and it's here, like you can drive in.
Yeah. It's a real physical path. We know where it is. And we
it's
know
not a path, it's a path. Or what?
It's a road.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Isn't that? It does just engender so much gratitude for all those who came before. Not even just that they established that road, but for the big, you know, the big path. And that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So much dropping in. There's a lot in listening to the people talking and the introduction of the How You Do Anything workbook. And there's a line in there that I'm going to mangle it probably, but it's something about try to be exactly as you are for the duration of this project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And allow that to just be. And And I've also been thinking about the Tolstoy "Do Not Resist Evil,"
mm-hmm.
and how, like, well, I don't know what evil is, and so just not resisting anything. It seems to be where, like, the pointers.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And in this time, been really just seeing how, like sitting and all these judgments and just watching all this stuff coming up and letting it,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to, like, I don't know, it's like, it's weird not trying to force coming back,
mm-hmm.
but just kind of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And those get judged as ugly fits or, like, whatever. Mm. But then coming out of them and being like, whoa, like, something shifted. Something got stripped away. Something just is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just to see that when you're going with the not resisting anything, then you can recognize and see, it's sort of like what Lucinda was pointing to, just all the different aspects, you know, all the judgments that are going to comment on your sit or say this or whatever, but none of that matters. It's just sitting, and it's just being with whatever, and then getting to have the awareness of, wow, something shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that you probably were never meant to sustain.
Yeah. Yeah. And just feeling like shiny. And working around the monastery is such a gift. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful to be able to come and participate and just to feel a part of it a different way than when I'm at home practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is such a gift. It's a gift on every front, you know. So it's the gift that you are receiving as you're expressing it, a gift to be able to be here and participate in that way. It's a gift to the monastery for having the care and the love shown through this note of intelligence as you, you know. And it's a gift to all of Sangha, you know, just... It's just a diamond gift because it's got many, many facets and faces, right?
Yeah. I was cleaning in a space where I had stayed 2 years ago. And there was just this sense of like somebody did this for me.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for somebody else. And that giving receiving thing. That was so cool.
And it's just so cool because it's like in a way you just sort of disappear. And I'm like, the giver, the receiver. dissolve into the action of the love, you know? It is so cool when it's like getting to know, it's like, okay, what place am I going to get to love today? Oh, yeah. Port of Four. Okay, I got that one. Yeah. And it really is just a giving. And it's just the giving and the receiving all melded into one.
Yeah.
Thank you. So clear.
Everything everybody said. the conversation about drafting, I saw something I've never seen before, and that is, I hear a lot about my position in the draft, I'm taking up permanent residence at the end of the... And what I saw this morning is, how can we know?
Mm-hmm.
How can we know where we are in that formation? And that every time you may think you're in the back of the draft, thinking about it authentically and really, being real, you're at the front of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's such a fluid thing,
mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about just recently the guide sent a message up that she wasn't going to keep his commitment because she was needed to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Now one might say, well, that person's going to the back of to the formation. It's drafting,
yeah.
But it was in front of me in a teaching about just honoring and caring for this human.
Yeah.
And so I had just never ever seen that before, and it's just very.
Well, the process I project that is so liberating is that so process.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said it just dropped in. We never know. How do we know that? Because all that story, well, you're currently about, well, that's what the being in the front looks like. That's what being in the back looks like. To turn on that and go, who knows? Who's saying this? What do you know? You know, and to not follow that.
Just being that, who knows?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just a little bit about the what I've been working with lately is the sensations in the body and the things that get labeled anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing something the other day, and the sensations were pretty high, and the stories were ramping. Like I would say, well, I'm in a state of high anxiety here.
I'm pretty sure.
And then I kind of looked around and said, that's very interesting because actually there's nothing going on. I've been in situations where it's real believable that high anxiety is the appropriate response.
Uh-huh.
But there's really nothing here that would, you know, call for high anxiety right now. So I'm just, something's going on here, you know. And so in that moment, I just dropped in to ask, if I wasn't having this experience, what other experience would I be having? Mm-hmm. And I saw, oh my God, I saw a whole lot. First of all, there's a, I saw that it's a cover-up that goes on continually. Because I was actually engaged in something that I really loved. And I saw how it, I never, ever get to receive what I'm doing. I never get to feel the love of it. I never get to be in that joy. Because the attention gets drawn to, oh my God, you're having an anxiety attack. You've got to do something, you know. And so it's just, I saw, oh my God, it's just the pose. It's just the siphoning off. And then I started to see it in every way that doesn't get labeled as an anxiety attack, but that's what it is. When wake up in the morning, like, oh my God, let's see, I've got to have this and this and this done by, you know, 3 p.m. And how am I going to, you know, that whole planning thing? And just the myriad of ways it just creeps in throughout the day. And then, you know, to just bring that question, if I wasn't in this conversation, what would I be experiencing? And every time I've asked that, it's like, God, I'd be listening to the birds, you know? I'd be seeing the blue sky. So anyway, it's been really...
That's a really powerful process. Because, and what's striking me about that is how on... how you do anything, it's how you do everything, track it is. Because there you say you had that experience in whatever you were doing, where you were feeling all the emotions, all the sensations, and had the presence of mind or the presence of awareness to say, if I weren't in this story, what else is possible? And there's that same turning of the attention to, who said so, you know? Mm-hmm. And then to see it everywhere, or not... Well, yeah, to see it everywhere, to see all the myriad ways that cover-up happens to rob the human of the joy of the birds, of the sky, of what she's doing that she loves, and to be able to see that, and you're sitting there holding the key. Okay, the key was, if I weren't believing this, what else is possible? Just that, is that so kind of question?
Yeah. So so is that so? We don't know. And what else is possible? So just practicing with that. And let's see if there's anything else about that. I just love being reminded this morning about gentleness and I mean, everything that everyone said, it's, just everything that everyone said.
A number of things. One, I was really enjoying that, that idea of the guy saying, I'm not this commitment because I need to rest and and what a model that is, and reminded me that in the gym class I go to, the instructor had an injury. He's had a number of injuries, and a number of times, and she does most everything with us. And a number of times she said, "I like to lead by example. I'm really frustrated because I can't do that." And because he's holding back, and what we've been saying to her is, "You are leading by example, you know, because you are doing what you can do, and not making yourself do what you can't do." And it's really a great model to see that.
Yeah.
Because it's being with what is. You know?
Yeah. And being sensitive and gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the human and with,
So, a number of things have come up and I don't know which one to talk about, so I'll just talk about something. So, the experience of doing the workbook, you know, and, So one thing I've noticed that's really helpful is I read it in the morning on the computer, and often there isn't time at that moment to do it. And then I watch myself, I watch conditioning, try to figure out how I'm going to do it when I have time to do it.
Uh-huh.
And
previewing it, you mean, like in your mind?
In my mind, yeah. Yeah, right. So what you're going to draw is... And what I say is, I will know when I sit down with the book and the pencil or the markers. And it's true. And when I sit down, what I end up drawing often has no relationship with whatever. All those scenarios. And the conditioning is a scenario manufacturer. And so what I end up drawing has nothing to do with that often. And then, in the course of drawing it, there are some insights that drop in. And what I'm really noticing is the difference between those two things.
Oh.
The mental process of figuring out, you know, completely in this place called the mind, what's going to happen, and then having an experience and seeing what arises as a result of the experience. Very, very different process.
Oh, that is so big. Because so you're the what you're distinguishing, the difference between is what conditioned mind scenario feels like and what insights connected to activity that's actually happening feels like.
Well, what entirely different processes they are.
Yeah, what entirely different processes they are.
And it's like they're literally located in different places.
Yeah. Because and as you're going about your day, when ego's doing its thing of the scenario this and then what was going on, that's one place. And then it sounds like you're even aware that that's happening and saying, well, we'll see when we get there. When they get there. And then when you get there and you're actually doing it and then noticing the insights, then awareness gets to register that thing.
Yeah, and I noticed as I was speaking of it that the hand gestures, I was talking about the thinking about it ahead of time and what arises afterwards. And it literally comes from a different place. And it's just so helpful to notice.
Yeah, that is so helpful to see. One we know feels like here, up and around the head, mm-hmm. and then the other is arising.
Mm-hmm. And one feels manufactured, and one feels like it just arises, uh-huh. like it just arrives.
Yeah, it just arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this one other thing that I just had this fun image come up when you were talking about sort of the way conditioning kind of creeps in, you know. And I thought, some of it doesn't just creep. So I had this great image. I went to this wonderful play the other night. And in the course of the play, there's a group of guys who are going to go snorkeling. And so they all come out with flippers on, you know, those big flippers, and they do a dance. And so, you know, they're singing really loud, and the flippers are just going crack, 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 crack. It was so funny because it was like a chorus line with flippers. And I thought, that's the way conditioning often comes in, actually. It's like a chorus line with flippers if I'm paying attention.
Uh-huh.
So I think I want to use that image. When conditioning sneaks in, because I think it's a lot more obvious than it pretends to be, or that I kind of collude with it and thinking it's subtle, and also it's funny.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really helpful to me when I get that's going on. Like, this is how you're going to draw a picture.
Uh-huh.
So just think of that chorus line again and all that noise.
Yeah.
All that flapping around. Is a way of just disidentifying.
Yeah.
Even thinking for a moment that that's anything other than a dancing set of flippers.
Yeah. I know. You're not going to be fooled. You're not going to be, you know, not going to be anything stealth about it. It's a big old flopping flippers banging on the floor and ridiculous and funny.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm the goose on the ground that can't even.
I'm not even in the formation.
I'm not even. It's funny to think about. Actually, when I was thinking about being at the back of the formation and, you know, looking. Anyway, it's true for me that being on the ground in the back, it does trigger shame. But when it was talked about, kind of actually the image that came was how if I relax into it, and all that I've seen about kind of being at the back, or what I don't know what I would call it, but you know, needing people, Needing Sangha, needing community, needing family, needing friends, needing, and that on the one hand it triggers self-hate and shame and all that I haven't done to prepare for this moment and all that I should have done and the kind of parent and wife and daughter, you know, it just goes,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
Just
yeah.
But that the gift at that we've been given to be able to actually not believe it very for very long.
Yeah.
I mean, it does go, but there is kind of an ability to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And then when there's that relaxing, and so as the person was describing, the being at the back and just kind of coasting on the airwave or whatever, I mean, I can't tell you the simultaneous. So for me, the sensations are still pretty intensely sensitive to being triggered into the self-hate. Mm-hmm. But there's also this kind of soothing that happens at the same time. So you know how we talk about like that? I think if I see a guy and I'll talk to him, you know, that Jesus and the bumper sticker thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really feels like that's life right now, like simultaneously, you know, that intense pain of what is happening and the self-hate and all the stories, the karma that's been there forever. And then there's this this thing that, like, that gentleness that is not... You know, what I'd like it to do is just poof it all away, and I'm enlightened, and I know the right thing to say, and the right thing to do, and the right way to be. But it's sort of like this, well, what everybody said, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. The not knowing, the blurting, the keeping silent, the physical, the self-hate that's going on, the gentleness that's there. And I always, I mean, I say this probably every, very often in practice, I was going for something. Mm-hmm. Union with God that felt a certain way and that made me into a certain enlightened being. And not into the one at the back that can hardly laugh, for God's sake. You know, bring that one on the ground that can't even get off the ground. Except that there's just been this kind of... when other people were talking, I just see what a gift it's been to my friends. I mean, they just love making me food and holding my hand and writing me notes and, you know, doing what, you know, people are just so nice. Well, I don't have this, but I could help you paint or, you know, just, and I just see that it's a gift for everybody.
Yeah.
My being... where I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other gift, I think, I don't know if this is true, but it is for me, you know, that gift of deep down my knowing I'm adequate. Mm-hmm. You know, and for me, you know, I have a God. And it's not, you know, I think it allows people to be relieved, like if they don't have to do anything. I don't know. There's kind of I know I'm all right. And flapping away like I am is fine. It just seems like this you know, us practicing to know that, that there's nothing wrong, ripples out as well.
Yeah.
Like there's something wrong, but there's nothing wrong. It's rippling silently.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
That's a good description, actually. And the using the Jesus and the barcode, that is all one. You know, that there's this feeling like I'm not even off the ground and I'm just flapping away and simultaneously seeing what a gift it all is to be in relationship with people who love and support and you need them and they need to, and it feels good and everybody just kind of swimming in the love. When the attention is there, and seeing how ego is wanting to pile on the shame and so, and all that happens, but it doesn't negate any of the love. It's all there.
Yeah, it's such a different way than I thought it was going to look.
Yeah.
But it's very cool. It takes me back. I remember in college, I was a freshman in college taking a philosophy class, and there were 450 people in the class. The teacher was hilarious. Everybody was saying they were flunking out or whatever. And he told this story. He said he went to some museum, and there was a picture of heaven and a picture of hell. And he said, hell looked way more fun. Because there was a lot of activity, I guess, in it. I don't know. But it's kind of like that. Like I makes me believe that what I want is to easily be flying at the front of the line all the time.
And yeah.
Into bliss and peace and whatever. But this is actually pretty lively. Life-ish or something.
And seeing what a setup that is all.
Yes.
Like, I know what enlightenment's going to look like.
Right.
And I know how to get there. And I know what I'm going to be like and feel like.
Yes.
And it's nothing.
No. And it isn't even what the heart wants.
It's not at all what the heart wants.
No. It's just...
You know, it reminds me of a Rumi quote, and I just, it's one of my favorites. It's something, like, when the veils fall, we'll say, that is not at all what we thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.